Space Cowboy Books presents Simultaneous Times, a science and speculative fiction podcast. Short stories to stir the imagination by contemporary authors.
Remember to Forget by Kim Martin. Music by Red, Blue, Black, Silver. Read by Zara Kand and Jean-Paul Garnier. Take away our technology and we're not much different.
He told me.
We are very much alike. We want to know the truth about everything, mostly about ourselves.
I laughed and told him that sounded like something Doctor Who would say. He tilted his head inquisitively as he telepathically linked with the AI back on his ship to search for the reference. I wanted to kiss him. In that moment, I wanted to know just how alike we were. I wanted to know if he'd kiss me back, if he'd look into my eyes and tell me how beautiful and intelligent and special he thought I was. I wanted to know if he'd grow tired of me, stop finding my body an interesting experiment, start noticing the wrinkles and gray hairs. I wanted to know if he'd find me desirous and deserving enough to accompany him as he explored galaxies and probed minds, resurrected hearts. I briefly imagined a future life with him. He scanned this thought and shot back an all-too-familiar one within nanoseconds.
Impossible.
He continued scanning my thoughts faster than I was creating them. My gray matter was being massaged by warm, invisible probes, an oddly erotic sensation. Please, don't stop. Keep going, deeper, like that. Please, I want to forget, I begged him. He made deep, guttural, humming sounds that signaled his pleasure as he interpreted my longings. I closed my eyes in a vain attempt to make it last. He warned me again of the consequences. No more memories of life as a human. I didn't care anymore. I wanted a way out. Or in. I needed a fix, but I was sober. I needed love, but I was unlovable. I needed a family, but I was alone. I needed my sanity, but I was disturbed. I didn't want to die again, but I didn't want to live. He probed deeper, past the hippocampus, to the cerebellum, the storage area for how-to memories, deeper into my truths. He found a list memory I thought I buried when my father died, the long-neglected instructions I never seemed willing enough to access, yet probably should have.
How to heal a broken heart.
He whispered twice as he translated the list and connected it to the memories that hardened my heart long ago. Fix me, I wept. He had the technology. Why won't you just fix me? I trembled. Memories of my broken heart swirled and broke my heart all over again. My abusive alcoholic father, my son getting married, the exes who were addicted to porn or drugs or work, but never me. The resentment I was never able to purge ate away at me now. I wanted to forgive myself and love myself, but I kept forgetting to remember the times when I was someone special. I could no longer remember a single moment in my existence when I was good enough. We sat facing each other on the rough desert floor under a black night sky. Much like the first time he brought me back to life. He's erased so much of me. I recall very little of my life as a human, but somehow, he left the memory of our first encounter intact. I remember it as a near-death hallucination. I am alone in the desert. I feel sand underneath me. I am bleeding from stab wounds on my chest, my throat, my side, and my arms inflicted by my axe. My eyes roll, then slowly open and close. Please, fix me. I try to scream, but all I hear is blood-soaked breath. I feel hot, then cold. I shiver and cough up blood. I feel pressure on my chest. I stop breathing. I open my eyes and I am sitting up on the hard sand, face to face with this being, my secret guardian alien. All those years ago. This new memory I am experiencing as I drift through a nebula is replaying the night of my ascension. His gaze settled on my face while his probes caressed my amygdala as he tried to gently erase the pain. The longer he probed, the more it hurt. My heart churned and throbbed. The pain behind my eyes was unbearable, yet comforting. Wait, wait. Let me hold my son once more. I pleaded with him to let me experience one last memory of falling in love for the first time, the day I held my son after he was born. Wait, not yet. I tried to scream. I felt a final forceful rush of blood go from my heart to my brain, and then there was darkness. That was the last thing I remember of my life on Earth all those eons ago. When I try thinking back to my heartbroken days and lonely nights crying under the full desert moon dreaming of otherworldly contact, the memories aren't there. At times, I am satisfied with that result. Other times, I wish I could feel the memories so I could remember myself. Remember my son, my mother. The sensation of skin touching skin, or whispers tickling ears. I travel on through dimensions hoping to understand, seeking connection, probing frontal cortices, and doing all I can to know the truth about everything, especially myself. Because when you take away the technology, we're not much different. We're all searching. We're all someone else's memory. We're all broken. And no matter how much it may hurt, no matter what truths I find along the way, I won't stop until I find him and ask him one last time. Please, don't stop. Keep going, deeper, like that. Please, I want to remember.
Angels to Snakes by Susan Rukeyser, with music by Red Blue Black Silver and Luke Poole. Read by Susan Rukeyser, Zara Kond, Danu Heatherly, and Jean-Paul Garnier.
Kaylee was born on December 31st, 2000, a day expected to end with mass computer failure and societal collapse. When nothing happened, her mom told her, it seemed the future was saved. Today was Kaylee's 50th birthday. Like every day, she was shocked awake at 5 a.m. Bright fluorescents clicked on, and Adam, the virtual assistant now required in every American home, announced,
welcome to another workday.
Mandatory wake-up lighting was part of 2031's Traditional Morality Initiative, or TMI. Kaylee slid her journal from its hidden spot beneath her bed. She wrote,
you desire men.
It was all she could remember from last night's non-male bonus retraining, or NUMMER. She knew she risked imprisonment writing anything. She stole a glance at what she'd written the last few mornings.
Child care is the noblest profession. Angry women are ugly women. You are satisfied.
President Jedediah Winthrop, known as Father Wynn, took office following Trump's triumphant second term. Trump departed the White House in his new tilt-copter, flashing cameras with a final thumbs up and, with his other hand, a raised middle finger. Father Wynne's traditional values party soon controlled all three branches of government and eliminated term limits. Father Wynne currently enjoyed his fifth term, with little doubt of a sixth. A beefy evangelist from rural Georgia, his campaign slogan was, "Purity above pride."
"Forgetting something, Kaylee?"
Adam's voice boomed through her apartment. Just one room because, like all workers, she was poor. Kaylee pinched the cartilage just above her left earlobe, initiating her auditory implants daily under Achiever's motivation, female, or dumb F.
"Good morning, ladies. Let's see your best smile. Work hard today to nurture the next generation of real Americans."
The recording ended and Kaylee lowered her feet to the cold white floor. 50 years old. When she hit age 45 without successfully producing children, Kaylee was notified that her citizen's classification had changed from breeder potential to breeder failed. And because she took a gender studies course back in college, she was added to the misandrist activity watch list known as MAL. At UCLA, she was a music major. She fell in love with her cello's deep, smoky tones, everything it expressed between her knees. Now all women worked in childcare. There was no music.
"I'm up,"
she called, waving at Adam's camera. She looked down at her stubbly legs. Kaylee knew she'd be ticketed if a man saw her like this. Women weren't allowed to see each other's legs beneath their required tunics. She walked to the kitchenette where her ration of pre-mixed coffee dispensed. Kaylee ignored her rumbling belly. She had to conserve her rations until next week's paycheck. She filled a water bottle from the tap and added a purification tablet. She was thirsty, but the pill needed time to work. Kaylee pulled a heavy coat over her tunic, since temperatures in Los Angeles, renamed the Angels after 2039's sweeping American Language Act, hovered around freezing since the partial climate collapse. She fastened her respirator mask and tied her boots for the two-hour walking commute from the former Koreatown, now known, like so many places, as Maugaville, to the daycare center she was assigned to in Beverly Hills. The sky was its usual yellow-gray. When was the last time she saw a bird, she wondered, or any animal? On Wilshire Boulevard, she fell in line with her fellow workers. No one had cars anymore. The wealthiest job creators drove ex-military vehicles. Throughout the Angels, roads were broken by earthquakes and sunken by floods. Kaylee heard rumors that east of the Angels, in the Mojave, the skies remained blue. She'd hiked there as a child. Kaylee remembered her mother's face, lit by joy as she posed atop piles of rocks. The only sound, aside from shuffling boots and the occasional light armored vehicle, was the spillover from the ads playing on everyone's implants. The ads were synced automatically with the digital billboards along Wilshire. Designer respiration masks, ex-military float boots, fertility-enhancing gummies, over-the-counter ciproxacillin, or Roxy as it was known, the latest broad-spectrum antibiotic to treat everything from typhoid to syphilis to the salmonella poisoning most people learn to live with these days. Kaylee couldn't afford any of it. Only billionaires stayed home and shopped. Kaylee thought,
"It's my birthday. Is it so wrong to want a present? Maybe a chrome-handled suck pen,"
she thought, pulling out her cheap plastic one. Women needed to sweeten up, Father Wynne declared at his inauguration. Suck pens delivered glucose and fructose with an estrogen-progesterone infusion. The increased oral cancer risk was dismissed as irrelevant. Who didn't have cancer now? At tax time, women submitted proof they'd bought enough. Tonight, like every night, she would fall asleep immediately, exhausted by hours of walking and tending to other people's children. She would not receive a chrome-handled suck pen or any present. No one knew it was her birthday. Her mother was long dead.
Happy fucking New Year,
Kaylee whispered, so Adam wouldn't hear. The next morning, Kaylee woke, rolled over, and wrote,
Enough.
The morning after that,
Stop.
Kaylee was concerned. Her number must be malfunctioning. She skimmed her recent entries, and no question, there'd been an abrupt, recent shift. The following day, she wrote,
Desert.
She stared at it on the page, trying to remember how it was pronounced in the number transmission. Desert like the Mojave, or desert, as in leave and never return? She hid the journal and pinched her ear.
Good morning, ladies. Let's see your best smile.
About an hour into her walk down Wilshire, she approached the abandoned tar pits, still bubbling their ancient stink. She turned when she heard a light armored vehicle behind them. It was high off the ground, each wheel on its own extended axle. It plowed down the middle of the road, hitting several workers.
Stop!
Kaylee hollered, and the vehicle skidded to a halt. A white man in an expensive respirator mask jumped down from it.
Got something to say, old bitch?
Kaylee froze. He strode towards her and punched her hard, just beneath her ribcage. She dropped, the wind knocked from her. Her fellow workers did not stop. They did not even slow their pace, but stepped around her. The white man yanked off Kaylee's mask, cutting her nose. Acrid air stung her throat.
Breathe deep.
He spat into his fancy mask. He flashed what had come to be known as the billionaire, a simultaneous thumbs up and middle finger. A young breeder potential stepped over Kaylee, the hem of her tunic lifting to reveal hairless ankles. The man grabbed her and dragged her from the road, down onto the sandy ground near pools of tar. No one interfered. Kaylee was banged up. She knew without looking that a bruise bloomed across her torso. The man was on the girl, and everyone walked past. The billboard ads continued.
Why spend your life on the toilet? Try Roxy today.
Enough!
Kaylee yelled. The man looked up, and she knew. She might not survive this. She strapped her mask back on and stood on shaky legs. She limped to the far side of the man's vehicle and leaned against it to catch her breath. Then she realized he'd left the engine running.
Desert,
she remembered.
Desert.
She climbed into the vehicle and looked at the controls. It was an older model, electric. The battery charge light was green. She pinched her ear to silence the ads. She knew a report would be issued and her Adam would be patched in.
Kaylee, you seem upset. Come home. I'll draw you a bath.
If she ignored him too long, he'd forward her coordinates to the police. From up here, she saw the suicide swinging from lampposts outside the former LA County Museum of Art. She began a U-turn, careful not to hit any workers. The seat gripped her thighs and the vehicle announced,
Female, perimenopausal, sober, underweight, pulse and respiration rapid due to stress. Have you tried Chills Out from Compliance, a traditional values incorporated company? Your first dose is free.
The man finally noticed Kaylee stealing his vehicle and ran into the street, clutching his unzipped fly. He screamed,
How dare you, worker?
She wanted to run him down, smear him across Wilshire Boulevard, reduce him to the nothing he'd made of that girl. She wanted his corpse left to rot while workers stepped over him. But she steered away, bound for the Mojave. She needed blue sky. She needed to know it still existed. She sent an apology, unheard as a prayer, to the girl lying on the ground as if the man still held her down. By the time she passed the empty strip malls of Riverside County, her whole body ached, and she was furious. Her fellow workers were cowards. She was a coward. Why do they fear death when this was life? She was done hiding. She pinched her ear, and Adam resumed immediately.
Kaylee, you seem upset. Come home. I'll draw you a bath.
An ad followed, synced with a billboard.
Yummy mummy gummies, just $199 per day.
She entered a twisty pass, and both Adam and the billboards fell to static, then silence. The road disintegrated and the vehicle said,
"Self-navigation initiated. High travel suspension engaged. Take your hands off the wheel."
Nearing Mount San Jacinto, known as Mount St. Hyacinth since the American Language Act, she saw the lake that now filled the valley. Propellers from antique wind turbines littered its shores. Through her implant, she heard an unfamiliar female voice.
339248N, as in November. Repeat, 339248 November.
Is she a cop?
Kaylee wondered.
Is this how I die?
The woman's voice returned.
115924W, as in whiskey. That's 11924 whiskey. Do you copy?
Hello?
Kaylee said.
Answer yes when your vehicle asks if you want to follow these coordinates. See you soon.
The woman added, signing off. Adam crackled back to life.
Kaylee, you seem...
But then the vehicle entered a steep grade and Adam was lost. The vehicle asked if she wanted to follow the coordinates and she said yes. She saw signs for the town of Joshua Tree, long since evacuated. There were no roads there anymore. Each of the vehicle's wheels tackled the rocky terrain independently. The billboards remained, although here the video sputtered and the audio was out of sync. The vehicle proceeded slowly, going almost vertical at times as it traversed rocky hills and sunken washes.
Where are the Joshua trees?
Kaylee wondered.
The yucca? The mesquite?
The vehicle turned into the decommissioned national park, passing a dilapidated ranger station. Inside the park, the billboards were dark and silent. The vehicle followed what remained of the main road, past lakes that formed when the desert flooded. The sky was indeed blue here, and Kaylee cried from the beauty. She removed her respirator mask because if this air would kill her, so be it. The vehicle signaled that her destination was just ahead. Kaylee saw an expanse of cholla, barbed spines gleaming gold in the afternoon sun. Beyond them was nothing but flat, open desert, the wind whipping sand across it, and in the distance, piles of rocks, tall as mountains. She saw a few parked vehicles, but no people. Kaylee called.
Hello?
Hi,
answered the voice from her ear. A woman stood right in front of her, beautiful and old, with wild hair that matched her silver jumpsuit. She pointed to her scarred left ear.
I'm deaf in this one, so talk to the other.
She started down a washed-out trail and soon struck out through cholla.
Watch yourself,
she warned. Kaylee drew her arms close to her body, but Barb snagged her tunic. She couldn't return to the angels like this. When they were through the cholla, the woman strode out into the open desert. Kaylee struggled to keep up, her scraped knees singing with pain.
I'm Nan,
said the woman. She stopped and pointed at a lone, rangy bush.
Creosote. It used to be everywhere.
Nan resumed walking, and it seemed she was headed for the nearest mountain of rocks. The rocks were smooth and piled on one another like scoops of half-melted ice cream. Kaylee felt a stab of hunger. In the afternoon's lengthening shadows, Kaylee saw in the rocks the shapes of ravens, coyote, and the most intimate parts of a human female. When they finally reached the rocks, the sun was low and red. Nan led her around to the far side, which couldn't be seen from the road. Kaylee heard the rattlesnakes first, then the women, her age and older, chatting and laughing in folding chairs, stirring soup and chili on campfires while the snakes shook their warning.
Knock it off, kids,
called Nan, and the snakes quieted. The women all wore the same silver jumpsuits, all had bloody bandages against their left ears. Kaylee didn't see one suck pen. Kaylee said,
I thought maybe you had a spaceship out here.
Nan threw back her head and laughed in a way that made Kaylee want to light her up like that again.
No, honey, we're human. Was it the jumpsuits? We just think they're fun, like the cool sci-fi future we imagine. You got better questions than that?
What is this place?
A singular electromagnetic aberration. We extract our implants and the atoms can't find us. Women can just be here, or they can go home.
I don't want to go back to the angels.
I meant home, as in what's through there.
She pointed to a fissured rock in the far formation, just enough room for an underweight body to squeeze through.
We hacked the atoms of failed breeders. We've all been there. When we saw you transcribing your number, transmissions, we knew you were one of us. Don't worry, we blocked Adam's view.
Kaylee whispered.
Are you misandrists?
Nan chuckled.
Sometimes. But listen, we don't want a revolution, just peace and quiet.
She saw Kaylee eyeing the cleft in the far rock.
Why don't you check it out, after you get some food and first aid?
Are you coming?
I stay here.
Kaylee was disappointed, but she was determined to go. Soon, her belly full and wounds dressed, Kaylee looked toward the far formation. She caught a glimpse of a woman atop the rocks, lit by joy. Kaylee trudged to the crevice and tried to peer through. Was that music? An unaccompanied cello suite, Bach. She remembered it from college, when she held love between her knees and wrote without fear and believed the future would be better. Seized with longing, she turned sideways and started through the cleft. She looked back once for a glimpse of blue sky, but by then, it was already dark.
You just heard Simultaneous Times, stories featured in this episode, Remember to Forget by Kim Martin, with music by Red Blue Black Silver, From the Angels to Snakes by Susan Rukeyser, with music by Red Blue Black Silver and Loopool. Theme music by Dane Lesko. Out now, Simultaneous Times, Volume 1, Paperback Science Fiction Anthology. Available at spacecowboybooks.com and lulu.com. Be sure to visit us at our store in Joshua Tree, California, or at spacecowboybooks.com. And connect with us on Instagram or Twitter. We'd love to know what you think of the program.